This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
With me in the studio now is Cammy Cordner-Hunt, who's running as an independent candidate or a part of a party called Independents for Climate Action. Now, Cammy, thank you very much for coming, and it's great to see you.
That's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you're one of 83, I think, people running in the Senate for six spaces. It's a very competitive race, isn't it?
Yes, it's the biggest ever. I haven't gone to the end of the alphabet before and beyond it, so that's where it is now. We're at column M, right in the middle, luckily.
Yeah, okay. People will be able to see you there. And then it's really weird how the Senate thing works now, because it's not just one above the line. You've actually got to either put six squares filled in above the line or 12 below the line. So do you think that's encouraging more people to look at minor parties like yourself?
My impression, speaking to people, is that it has definitely made a difference. Now that people have to choose six parties above the line, people are actually independently going and doing their research, which is really good. That's how you want people to be engaged in the process.
Have you been to pre-poll yet?
Not myself, no.
Will you go just to... It's a really good way of sensing what the mood is like, I think, because I've seen people standing there handing out the different cards for each party, and it's good to see who's there and who's not, and also to talk directly to the voters.
Yes, look, that would be a good idea, although going around to all the candidates' forums and going around to a whole lot of different events all over Victoria, because as a Senate candidate, your electorate is the whole of Victoria, so I've been making the most of getting to those things and tapping into the feelings at the ground. But it's really interesting. I feel as if there's a little bit of a J curve happening here, with people becoming more engaged and more aware as we gallop towards election day.
Mm. You say gallop because yesterday I saw a photo of you next to someone on a horse.
Did
naked.
You? Ah, yes. Yes, look, that had always been, Lady Godiva has always been, really impressed me, because she got out there and made a stand, and it was about taxes and people getting too rich and greedy, and all of the people suffering, all the workers were suffering as a result of that. And I just thought, wow, you know, 1,000 years later, it's a mirror image.
Mm. Now, let's just go through your background. It looks quite diverse. I see that you're also a teacher for GGS up at Timbertop.
Yes, that was a fantastic time. Yes, I taught environmental science.
And, so you've got a bit of a science-y background.
Oh, yes. I have a Bachelor of Science from Melbourne Uni in geology, mining and chemistry.
So is that why you're taking a stand on climate change as your primary concern?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Independents for Climate Action now are nearly all scientists in some form or other, marine scientist, ecologist, botanist, all of the people standing in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland. And because actually, do you realise that scientists aren't drawn into politics? Economists are, and business people are, and lawyers are. So when it comes to making decisions about climate change, they've got 97% of the world's climate scientists saying we need to act. But when it comes to actually making policy, there's no scientist at the table. So we wanted to get scientists in there helping with policy making.
What's the structure of Independents for Climate Action now? I was looking at your website, and it seems like each candidate sort of has their own slant on policy. So you really are just a bunch of independents who are coming together. Because obviously with a voting system, if you want a box above the line, you have to run with a group of people. That's how it works. But there's no sort of party policies as a whole. Each person is independent. Is that how it works?
Well, how it works is that we are united by a number one policy being act on climate now.
Yep.
And declare a climate emergency, stop Adani, stop Equinor, and all of those sorts of things. But beyond that, we will have our own opinions and policies in different areas.
I see. So let's say we declare a climate emergency. What happens next?
Well, once that happens, you start developing policy that is based on putting that premise at the top of everything you decide. So that will mean that when it comes to deciding on Adani, oh, hang on a minute, we're in a climate emergency. Sorry, we have to say no to that. We have to say no to Equinor and the Bight. So it's kind of like the restart button for us to go into the future.
What sort of policy settings would you like to see? I mean, I understand that you're probably not going to form government because you don't have people running in the lower house sufficient to get over the line. You need to get 76 in the lower house. So your role is going to be more on the Senate as a crossbencher, determining what legislation gets through and negotiating to presumably get your sort of legislation through. So what is the policy priority? Once we've declared that climate emergency, what do you do next?
Well, I'd be really looking at media ownership reform, fairness and equality in the media, also political donations, stopping the whole thing. And in fact, involved with it, political donations, would also be a kind of electoral reform. I find the electoral system that we have now, the campaigning system, is highly weighted in favour of the parties with enormous amounts of money. So it's very hard for anyone else to get visible. Things like your candidate forums have been fantastic. They've given everyone an equal platform to sit on and meet people and everyone to hear them equally. But generally, in the media, it's all about who's got the most money. I mean, look at Clive Palmer. He's been heard by everybody in Australia.
Yep.
Because he's thrown money at it. And that's not a democratic approach.
What reforms would you like to see to media ownership?
Well, I think we have to reduce the amount of ownership and control in media.
So you think it's just too concentrated?
Yes, I do. Yep.
So you'd like to, say, restrict how many newspapers one person can own or how many radio stations or TV stations?
Exactly.
Fair enough. Yeah. Any other policy areas? I mean, obviously it's Independence for Climate Action now, but you have to vote on a broad range of legislation. Is there anything else that's on your radar?
That's a good question. I've been so focused on getting the message out there. I think generally making democracy better, more accessible and more equitable is my number one thing after climate action. And I feel as if those two things are the things that are going to help us go forward and create a future for our young people.
Excellent. And what sort of response have you been getting?
Well, that's what I mean by the J curve. Everywhere I've been going, it's actually been getting more and more receptive to this message everywhere I go. And I'm going to different places all the time, and people are getting really switched on.
And you've attracted some preferences from some parties. I think maybe the Animal Justice Party might have preferenced you in the Senate. I'm just trying to remember back to the How to Vote cards I've seen.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we could appeal across the board. Any party that wants to prove that they actually have climate credentials would really benefit from putting us in their top six because that would prove that, you know, they're that way inclined. And with the way people are thinking at the moment, I reckon that behoves all parties to do that.
Well, Cammy, before we let you go, this is what we do with every candidate. You get the opportunity to make an elevator pitch, just talk directly to the voters, 30 seconds or so. Why should they vote for you?
Well, the Senate is really critical. It is just as critical as your local representative. There are so many influences that can be made in the Senate, and we need a very strong crossbench there. It doesn't matter which party gets in, which party is in power, you need a good crossbench, especially those of scientific minds, to be able to come to the party, come to the table and be there with policy making so that the 97% of climate scientists can be have their issues brought to account at the policy table.
Thank you very much for coming in. I really appreciate it. Hopefully this has given you a fair platform to express your views. And that's what we're all about, trying to hear from as many different diverse candidates and viewpoints as we can. And I wish you all the very best on Saturday.
Thanks, Mitchell. Absolutely. And well done to you with all the research and you do and with all the airings you've given to candidates. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you very much, Cammy Cordner-Hunt.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.